Hey, everybody. It is Wednesday, and welcome to the midweek edition of the Panic Podcast. Boy, it's good to have you with us today on this beautiful Wednesday morning in Southwest Virginia. I really hope it's beautiful where you are. I just love summer. I love the good weather. I love the sunshine. I love everything about summer except when it's over. Have you ever noticed that summer goes by so fast? Winter drags on and on, but summer, like it just you wait forever for it to get here, and then it gets here, and then it's gone. I think in heaven it will be summer all the time. And as sure as I say that, there's going to be somebody out there that says, boy, I sure like winter. I really like winter. And there's all kinds of weird people out there. I have a friend of mine who, her name is Susie, and she's probably listening to this. Susie, you're weird. She always says she loves the wintertime and loves snow. That's just weird to me. But she didn't grow up in it. I grew up in northern Ontario, Canada, where, I'll never forget the last winter I had to live through. That was the winter of 1999 and 2000. As I left to come down here in June of 2000, June the 22nd, was actually when I arrived in Southwest Virginia for the first and the last time. And I remember that winter. It was a bad winter. The snow was up to my second floor window at my house. Of course, I had to shovel it off my driveway, and I had to shovel it onto the front yard. But the snowbank was literally up to the second floor window, and I had a shed at the very back end of my backyard, and the snow, just the snow in my backyard, was past my waist. That's how much snow we had. And people wonder, do I miss living back home in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, Canada? The answer is no, 1,000 times no. I can't reiterate it strongly enough. I do not miss it. I went back only one time to visit, and I felt like a fish out of water. I could not wait to leave and come back to Southwest Virginia. I don't know. I just felt like I felt like a foreigner, a stranger in a strange land. Maybe you've had the same feeling. You've grown up and you moved away from home, and then you went back, and it wasn't the same as when you left. And growing up in Sault Ste. Marie, it was awesome. It was a great place to grow up, but man, just the thoughts of going back there chills me to the bone. Well, we're up to the 13th study in Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the Bible, and that starts at verse 97. So get your Bibles, open up to verse 119, Psalm 119, verse 97. I'll get it right yet. We're breaking in some new equipment here at Mike's place, and I'm trying to look at everything all at the same time, including my notes and the Bible and the instructions. These are the instructions for this some of this new equipment. So I'm just getting used to it. Why don't we bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless our time together. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's good to come into your presence today. And we come before you today in the name of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask your Holy Spirit that he would be the teacher today. I pray that he would take your word, plant it deep in our hearts that it may grow. I pray, Father, that you would anoint our ears to hear you speak to us through your word today. May our lives be a testimony to what we learned today. May we live our lives according to the teachings of Scripture to glorify you in everything that we do, everywhere that we go. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's read the verses first. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 97. This is the 13th strophe. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me. and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Look at that 103rd verse. Isn't that a great verse? How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. That's frequently in Scripture, honey is used to describe God's word. There's a very interesting saying in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 24, verses 13 and 14. Eat honey, my son, for it is good. Honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know also that wisdom is like honey for you. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. These two verses, I think, serve to illustrate a couple of very important things. First of all, honey is just really good to eat, isn't it? I think anybody with a sweet tooth knows this to be true. Honey is just good. I love honey. I love honey on toast, and some people like honey in their tea. And wisdom is a lot like honey. When you acquire wisdom, it tastes good. Learning something new is always exciting. It's helpful. It's satisfying. It's like the first time you learn something really cool about your iPad Pro. It's like a whole new world open up in front of you. When you acquire wisdom, things just start to make sense to you. Certain things get a little easier to do. No wonder the psalmist and the teacher compare God's word and God's wisdom to honey. And the second thing is that those who have acquired wisdom also have a hope and a future hope. Wisdom helps a person in the present, and it gives them the ability to make plans for the future. When you have wisdom, you have a far better than even chance of success in your life. The 13th section of Psalm 119 extols the wisdom of God's word and how it has made the psalmist a better person. But he begins this strophe on an upbeat, positive note. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. A lot of people claim to love the Bible, but the psalmist proves it. He meditates on it all day long. Of course, that does not mean that he reads it all day long. He reads it, he thinks about it, he talks about it with others, he shares what he has learned with others, and most importantly, he lives what he has learned from the Word of God. And that's how you prove to others that you love the Bible. So you can talk about how wonderful the Bible is all day long, but the proof is in the living. The psalmist understood that, and we're better because he shared it with us. Living the Bible shows everybody what you think of it. The totality of this strophe actually teaches us something phenomenal about life. When you were born, your parents did not give you a textbook on how to live, did they? As a matter of fact, they didn't have a textbook about life either. All human beings essentially learn by doing. That's how it's done. Colleges and universities have done a great job at convincing parents that if they send their little darlings to their college or university, then they'll succeed in life. There are plenty of well-educated, though maladjusted graduates bussing tables to pay off their six-figure student loans, because, in fact, colleges and universities can't make anybody a success, nor can they make their student wise. The psalmist gives us the key to wisdom, and it's this, verse 98, your commands are always with me, and they make me wiser than my enemies. This verse actually tells us why the psalmist loves the Word of God so much, And why he's so preoccupied with it. It's because it has made him wiser than his enemies. That's why he meditates on it all the time. He could spend his time reading the news feeds on the internet or reading the latest self-help New York Times bestseller, or he could spend his time watching dopey game shows and talk shows on the TV, but instead of frittering his time away on things and activities that don't make him a better person, the psalmist has chosen to spend his free time in God's Word. The writer has discovered that the textbook for living is the Bible. It's the Scriptures. That's your manual for life. And what he has learned from the Scriptures has made him wiser than his enemies. He's not distracted by them or what they are doing or planning. He doesn't buy into man's clever ideas on how to beat his enemies. No, the psalmist sticks with God's Word. It's always with him. It's always on his mind, and it's given him wisdom. Verse 99. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. It's an interesting verse. When I was doing some research for this series, I guess it was last year, I consulted, a lot of commentaries and, books on the Psalms. And verse 99 has caused some scholars to think that the psalmist is a young man. Now, that's possible, of course. It's anonymous. There's no name attached to it. But it could be that the author, whomever he is looking back over his lifetime in hindsight. And he's realizing that the most important knowledge he needed for life he gained from God's Word, not from his teachers. Human wisdom, thoughts, knowledge, and philosophies are certainly not all bad. But however brilliant a teacher may be or insightful his thoughts may be, eventually he and his philosophies will be replaced by somebody else. Now, Martin Luther, this is one of my favorite Luther quotes. Antiquity is no help against stupidity. I love Martin Luther's quotes. Antiquity is no help against stupidity, where it does not accord with God's Word. In other words, God's Word, not necessarily the teachings of some wrinkly old-timer like me, is the key of all knowledge. Don't you like that? Antiquity is no help against stupidity. And that's something you can put up on Facebook right there. And you'll impress all your quote friends, unquote. Young Elihu. Remember Elihu? He was the fourth friend in the book of Job. He's the one that comes on after all three of Job's friends have had their say. Up comes Elihu. And he's a young man. He was the son of Barachel. And he said something very interesting to Job and all of Job's old friends. Job 32, verses 7, 8, and 9. This is Elihu talking. He said, I thought age should speak, advanced years should teach wisdom. But it is the spirit in mortals, the breath of the Almighty that gives them understanding. It's not only the old who are wise, not only the aged who understands what is right. And Elihu was right there. Elihu said some things that were wrong. But he's right here. Anybody, regardless of their chronological age, anybody who takes God's Word seriously and lives it is wise. He's a heck of a lot wiser than the old man who drinks coffee all day at the donut shop while he tells people how to solve the world's problems. You ever know anybody like that? I remember my dad, bless his heart, when he retired from Algoma Steel years and years ago. He didn't last very long being retired. He got himself a job at a funeral home. My dad, Mr. Excitement. He got a job at a funeral home. I didn't need the money, but he couldn't sit around the house. And he said he didn't want to be like all of the other steel plant retirees sitting at the food court in the mall telling people how to live their lives and solve all the problems of the world. He just didn't want to do that. Well, the psalmist has learned something very smart, and that is old people don't necessarily have all the wisdom, and that regardless of your age, if you are trying to live the scriptures, if you take the teachings of scripture seriously, then you will have wisdom. Doesn't matter how young you may be, because as you take the Bible seriously, as you study scripture, understand that you are learning from the storehouse of all wisdom. I mean, the Bible is an ancient book, thousands of years old. Entire nations have built upon the foundation of biblical teachings. And you can't discount the wisdom in Scripture. Verse 100, I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. It may sound like the psalmist is boasting a little bit here, but we need to take the totality of what he's saying. His understanding of life comes from obeying God's teachings. Elsewhere in Scripture, we are told to pay attention to the wisdom that comes from other people. Job 8, verses 8 to 10. Ask the former generations and find out what their ancestors learned. For we were born only yesterday, and we know nothing, and our days on earth are but a shadow. Will they not instruct you and tell you? Will they not bring forth words from their understanding? And all that's well and good. And I'm a big believer in seeking out the counsel of older folks. But no human wisdom, listen to me, no human wisdom comes close to God's wisdom. All right? None. Because when a person obeys the teachings of Scripture, he's living according to God's will. The Word of God is God's revealed will to man. And it's always perfect. It's always just what a person needs to succeed in life. Nothing can compete with God's Word. Verse 101, I've kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your Word. One of my favorite sayings, Dwight Moody said, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Boy, that's certainly one way to look at this verse. As the psalmist obeys God's Word, he is kept off of every evil path. God's Word is the guide, the textbook, the map for his life. It's like an owner's manual that shows the psalmist where to step and which way to go. The other way to look at this verse places more responsibility on the believer. As he strives to walk on the right path and avoid the evil path, he will find it easier to obey God's Word. Now, this is actually a very keen observation on the part of the psalmist. Does it make sense for a Christian to faithfully attend church services and Bible studies only to go off on an evil path? Of course not. Now, listen, we all sin. But if we want living for God to be easier, then we've got to exert some kind of effort with the help of the Holy Spirit to keep off of those evil paths. The more time a believer spends in the Word of God, the more he will come to love righteousness and hate iniquity. As you read, study, and meditate on Scripture, you will find that it actually holds you back from sin. And if you do stumble along the way, as we all do from time to time, you will find conviction that will come and that will cause you to grieve over that sin and drive you right back to God and His Word and the right path. Now, I hope that so far in this 13th section of Psalm 119, you can see just how practical the wisdom of God's Word really is. Ours is no pie-in-the-sky religion. Our faith is made for living, and the textbook for our lives is the most practical book ever written, the Bible. The wisdom gleaned from Scripture actually helps us to outwit our enemies as it did the psalmist. No matter how clever and crafty your enemy may be, even if it's the devil himself, The Bible can give you what you need to prevail every single time. The wisdom of Scripture has the potential of making the student wiser than the teacher. You can learn all kinds of good things from school and from the intellectuals among us. But if your soul is immersed in God's Word, you will be in possession of wisdom that transcends time and that has built nations and changed the world. God's wisdom, as revealed in His Word, gives us an understanding of things that surpasses even a lifetime of experience. Now look at verse 102, because it gives us a vital piece of information regarding how God's Word is able to do this for us. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. It's very subtle, but did you get it? Listen again. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. God is the one who teaches you. When you finally and at last get serious about His Word. As long as the Bible is nothing more than a doorstop in your home, as long as it sits collecting dust during the week until you haul it out on Sunday, you will find living the Christian life a struggle. God's richest blessings will elude you. But when you take seriously the admonition from Paul to Timothy to correctly handle the Word of Truth, you will find that it is God who is teaching you. You will be His student, and He will open up His mind for you. Verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Far, far from being burdensome, the psalmist has found that the prominence of God's Word in his life is a good thing. It gives him pleasure to read it. And why wouldn't it? The Word has made this man's life better in every way you can think of. When you understand how important the Bible is to your everyday life, you will begin to delight in knowing it too. What a comfort it is to know that we are not left to figure out life on our own, and that what we learn from God, listen to me, we will never forget. Now the second phrase of that verse, sweeter than honey to my mouth, deserves a second look. The Word of God is sweet when it enters a person, but it is also sweet when that person speaks it. God's Word gets sweeter when a believer teaches others what he himself has learned. Sometimes the best way to understand and practice what God's Word says is to talk about it with other people, to teach it to other people. Verse 104, I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. God's Word gives us perspective. It enables us to see things the way they really are. Sometimes an activity or a venture seems good and beneficial to us, but when we weigh it against God's Word, we can see the truth about it and that maybe it's not a good idea. Knowing what the Bible says can serve as a sure check on our ambitions. All true wisdom comes from the Lord above. We can learn a lot from school, don't get me wrong. And I've got the education to prove it. I mean, I've got my doctorate degree. I know it has benefited me. So we can learn from school. We can learn a lot from sermons. We can learn a lot from good books, from Bible studies at church, from our parents. We can learn a lot from personally studying literature. But when we take the time to meditate on the teachings of Scripture, we will come to understand more than our teachers, because we will finally understand, however limited, the mind of God. Matthew Henry said this, "The written word is a more sure guide to heaven than all the fathers, the teachers, and the ancients of the church." Folks, you cannot go wrong. building your life around the Word of God, building your life on its teachings. You cannot go wrong. The written Word is a more sure guide to heaven than all the fathers, the teachers, and ancients of the church. It's good to know what all those people believed, but it's better to know what the Bible says. Psalm 119, the 13th strophe, is a magnificent group of verses on wisdom that comes from the Word of God. I hope you got something out of it. Well, let's bow in prayer, shall we? I want to remind you that we are here to pray for your needs, whatever they may be. Some of you have taken advantage of the comment section and given us your prayer requests. And we consider it an honor and a privilege to pray for whatever your needs are. All right? The Bible makes it very clear that we are to pray one for another so that we may be healed. And healing takes many, many forms. So whatever your need is, please don't be shy. Share it with us. It's always confidential. We don't broadcast your name to all kinds of people. But if you have a need, we'd be more than happy to pray for whatever that need may be. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your Word, and we thank you for the wisdom that we can glean from it. And Lord, we do thank you for all of the smart people that you bring into our lives, teachers that have educated us, parents that have shared a lifetime of experience with us and wisdom. We thank you, Lord, for the pastors that you have had us sit under to learn. We've gleaned wisdom from all those folks, and we ask that you would bless them. But Lord, help us to understand that the best wisdom, the purest wisdom, the most useful wisdom of all comes from your Word. So Father, give us understanding. Give us a desire to read it and study it. Give us insight into your Word so that when we read it, study it, meditate upon it, we can make reasonable application of its teachings to our lives. Help us, Lord, as the psalmist said, to hide your Word in our hearts that we may not sin against you. I pray now a very special blessing on each and every person that is tuned into this podcast today. Bless them, Lord, for their faithfulness to your Word. Cause them to be a blessing to folks as they go about their day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, again, thank you for being with us. We really appreciate the time that you take to study the Word with me. The time we spend together is always precious. Let me put it that way. So go out there, make it a great day, be a blessing to other people. And we will see you back here Friday with the next teaching in Why We Need the Bible. Have a great week. We'll see you on Friday. God bless you all.